Allow me to introduce you to an inspirational animal. But I'm not going to tell you what it is yet. See if you can guess from this description. Imagine a hunter that is lithe, well-muscled, the embodiment of elegance. An animal so supremely in harmony with its environment, so brilliantly honed by evolution, so downright awe-inspiring that we've produced a myriad pages and miles of film in its honour. This creature has moved some of our greatest artists to create groundbreaking works that have profoundly challenged the art world. Its sheer physicality holds us in thrall. Its image alone can suspend us between fear and admiration. Got it yet? Today, Natural Histories cast its bait into deep waters. Yes, indeed. It can only be the shark. Beautiful and inspiring are words rarely associated with sharks. That theme music from the 1975 film Jaws seems a cliché when we think of sharks now, but the book and the film did a lot to boost our primordial fear of these ferocious fish. We're fascinated, even hypnotised by them, but we tend not to like them. Except for people like Ian Ferguson, shark biologist and patron of the Shark Trust. For him, they're as awe-inspiring as any big cat.
It's a quite incredible experience when you're out on the ocean and purposefully looking for sharks, in my case primarily for white sharks, but there is this moment of pure adrenaline when you look into the depths of the dark Pacific Ocean and you see for the first time just that glimpse of white and black, that traditional colour scheme of the great white shark somewhere beneath your boat coming up slowly, slowly, slowly to look at you. And in that moment, you recognise just how tiny and puny Homo sapiens is compared to this incredible, powerful animal. These are sentient, social, intelligent animals, every bit as intelligent as any of the terrestrial apex predators, lions or cheetahs or tigers or such like. Make no mistake, sharks are very much at the same level in terms of their sentience and their abilities as an apex predator. Incredible animals, and always an incredible experience to come face to face with them.
Face to face with a great white, not an experience many of us crave. But few fish can claim to have the charisma of a shark. They are crammed with the stuff. Sleek and sore-toothed, they demand our attention. Even though most of us won't see one alive outside the safety of an aquarium, the feelings they evoke get our creative juices flowing. And that is what Natural Histories is about, how the natural world has shaped our cultural and psychological landscape. Overwhelmingly, our relationship with sharks is a negative one. Tens of millions of them die at our hands each year as bycatch from the fishing industry, for trophy hunting, or for their fins. They provoke universal fear, but of the 400 or so species, only three are habitually dangerous to people: the bull shark, the tiger shark, and the great white. Fewer than 100 people a year are killed by sharks. The risk of attack is minuscule, so why do we single them out? It's that sharky look. Richard Kerridge is a nature writer and lecturer at Bath Spa University.
Why they are so hard to like is partly because their faces are so immobile, so still, so lacking in the kind of features that give us meaning and reassure us and recognise us. The shark's face has no lines. It has no angles or pouches or little hollows. The whole repertoire of the landscape of a face is just missing. There is just this smooth torpedo-like shape. And then that great mouth with those teeth. And the black eyes, the eyes particularly on the great white shark, which is the sort of archetype, are black, empty holes. And the phrase that comes up all the time in writing about sharks, in descriptions of them, in seafaring narratives, in novels about sharks, the phrase is blank and expressionless.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?